This is Ross and Burbank with Dave Ross and Luke Burbank
on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.
Welcome to the 297th straight 980 degree day in Seattle. This is Ross and Burbank. Listen every minute or you're going to miss something, which is why we have the podcast at mynorthwest.com. You care about the price of your house? There was some optimistic news today about the price of your house, if you're a homeowner, that is.
It's not exactly a spending spree, but the annual rush of spring home buyers has pushed home prices up for the first time in 8 months. The S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index shows prices up in 13 of 20 major markets.
I was surprised that you were a big fan of the Case-Shiller Index. Every time a new Case-Shiller Index comes out, Luke comes into the meeting and says, "Hey, did you hear about the Case-Shiller Index?" And I say, "The what?"
I will take anything I can get when it comes to trying to figure out where the biggest investment of my life stands.
So that's what it is. You just want to make sure you're worth something, huh?
Or if I'm not worth anything, I want to know that too. But I do look carefully at the housing data. But of course, it's somewhat indecipherable at times. I will say that today was encouraging. It seemed just because I don't feel like there has been any good housing news for years, it seems. The stock market kind of bounced back. It's been up, it's been down, but I mean, the stock market was once at something like 7,000. It's back at 12,000. That's significant. But housing seems to have just been continually the problem. And so when you hear any kind of good news, if you're me anyway, you get pretty excited.
Well, let's decipher it, because everybody wants to know what their house is worth. If you own it, you want to know if you've got any money. If you're trying to buy, you want to know when prices have bottomed out. So we've called up Tim Ellis, who runs the Seattle Bubble blog. And on his website, seattlebubble.com, he's got this cool little Case-Shiller chart where you can click on the city and see the track of housing prices. You can compare city to city. I can compare, Seattle to Detroit. And I'm here to tell you I'm glad I'm in Seattle.
That's probably not. I mean, Detroit is not a great, not a very accurate sort of comparison.
Well, Tim, tell us what the latest figures mean. Are they cause for optimism for homeowners?
Good morning. I'd say I don't know about. I guess depends on what you're looking for in your optimism. The numbers seem to me kind of be a pretty standard spring kind of effect. You know, every spring prices tend to go up. It's pretty seasonal and predictable. And the only springs where we didn't see prices go up was during, you know, kind of the couple of years there of like really big crashing prices. So it's definitely, you know, optimistic in that.
It's not like, that,
you know,
right?
We're not crashing anymore, right? But yeah. But it's not like, oh, wow, like let's, you know, break out the champagne glasses and toast our equity all of a sudden. It's, you know, I think we're probably going to be in for at least a few years of flat prices, and a little bump like this in the spring doesn't necessarily, you know, indicate anything other than just normal seasonal activity.
So how does this compare to the year right after the debacle, like 2009?
In 2009, even through the spring, you know, prices were falling pretty steadily. If you look at 2009 in the spring, well, you know, we had a tiny little bump in the same month. It was like 0.2%, you know, from one month to the next in the spring of 2009 versus, you know, this month we had a 1.6% increase, which, you know, way better. But again, still pretty standard for the spring.
But, I mean, can we at least say that we've hit bottom? I mean, flat sounds better than declining.
You know, I think it's too early yet to call out that we've hit the bottom, but I think that, yeah, definitely flat, you know, is better than declining. And my kind of my personal outlook is that, yeah, we're going to see things be pretty flat over the next few years at least. But, you know, that's, we're going to see little seasonal bumps and dips. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, fall and winter roll around and it starts to drop down a little bit more. But, you know, that's not, I don't think we're going to see another, you know, 30% off from where we are here today, personally.
And then what's the latest on all the foreclosures? Because that's a big part of what's keeping prices down is that there's this whole inventory, right?
Yeah, there is a lot of inventory that the banks still need to work through, and it keeps on piling up. You know, you hear more and more every day about people walking away from their mortgages, and that's inventory that's going to end up distressed inventory on the market for years to come. And that's, I think, a big part of why I don't foresee us turning around and going into price increases anytime soon, because all of this distressed inventory and these foreclosures that are hitting the market are going to continue to hit the market for years.
I had some friends who closed a short sale recently, and it took them, from what I understand, months and months to do it. But they finally did it and got a heck of a deal. So I suppose from a buyer's point of view, this is you can still get some you can get some decent deals out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you're willing to tolerate you know, the short sales, the uncertainty and the time delays that are involved in those, you know, there may be a deal in there for you, because so many people are not willing to tolerate that. You know, there's not a lot of competition and the prices can be lower. And the same is sort of true of the bank-owned homes. You know, once they've gone through foreclosure, you can get a good deal on those sometimes, but mainly that's because they tend to not be in the best condition. So you have to be willing to, you know, kind of put some serious elbow grease into a lot of these. But you can, you know, sometimes get a home in a decent neighborhood if you're willing to put up with that kind of stuff.
And on the bank rules, I hear complaints from people who say, we've saved up, ready to buy a home, but the bank rules have become so restrictive that even reliable borrowers can't get loans anymore. So what's your view on that?
I've been hearing things along those lines, too. I read a stat just recently. I can't, you know, source this exactly off the top of my head, but that one in four borrowers have been declined lately. Mm-hmm. For mortgages. And yeah, I hear that it's difficult out there, but I mean, I personally just went through the process a few months ago, and you know, we had 20% down, good credit, and we had no problems at all. So I know it's definitely not, you know, free-flowing money like we had during the boom, but I don't think it's impossible to get financing or like ridiculously hard. You know, there's certain types of financing certainly have tougher restrictions like FHA and things like that, but for the most part, there's still financing out there to be had. It's not that difficult.
We're talking to Tim Ellis. He runs the Seattle Bubble blog. We're talking about the moderately – well, I was more excited about it till Tim came on. But still, moderately encouraging information about real estate prices, Seattle being one of the cities where there is at least a little bit of an uptick. Because I am the eternal optimist and I continue to pretend that my house is appreciating by the month,
Tim. When did you buy it?
I bought it in 2008, but I, you know, what do they say? You can't catch a falling knife. It wasn't at the height, but it certainly wasn't at the bottom. I kind of caught it mid free fall, I think. But I guess the question I was going to have, Tim, which is another way of me trying to spin this into a positive situation, is I know that speaking of inventory, that new home construction has been almost frozen because nobody's buying these homes. When things do finally start to sort of operate on a more normal way, and when prices do start to creep up a little bit and people are buying again, if that day ever comes, is there then going to be a real run-up in prices because there's no inventory?
You know, I've been hearing people warning about that even the last couple of years, you know, because the real construction freeze kind of happened in, you know, 2009. But so far we haven't seen it yet, and it seems like, at least in the Puget Sound area, construction's really starting to pick back up and new homes are selling. So it really depends on how fast the builders can refill that pipeline. And from what I've been hearing, you know, they just sort of put everything on pause, and the cities and the counties have been offering all these extensions to the permits, you know, because ordinarily they expire and you would have a real problem getting the pipeline back up and running. But it seems like, you know, these entities that give out the permits for new construction have really been working with the builders to kind of just put everything in a holding pattern until, you know, there were signs that the market started to pick back up. And it seems that the builders are kind of seeing some of those signs because they're really cranking the houses out all of a sudden in a lot of these developments that were just completely stalled.
You know, I think it's also valuable to remind people of the advice that I believe you gave last time you were on, is that if you're in the housing market trying to time it, trying to make money out of it, you're making a mistake. You buy a house because you need one at the time, and you find one you love. And in fact, you yourself, as you mentioned, just closed on a deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of always been my perspective, is that, you know, housing shouldn't be so much of an investment and more of a, you know, you buy it because it's a house, you want to live there. You want the benefits of homeownership, the stability, you know, things like that, you know, paint the walls, whatever. But it's not something that you're going to, you know, get rich off of. You know, if you're buying housing as an investment, you need to be thinking in a completely different way. You know, you need to be looking at, you know, rent ratios and all kinds of stuff that, you know, your typical home buyer looking to buy their personal house shouldn't really be thinking about. They should be thinking about, is this house a fair price? Can I afford it? Do I really want to pay this much?
Yeah. Tim, thank you.
Thank you.
Tim Ellis, you can see his blog at seattlebubble.com, and he's got this cool chart where you click on the city and it shows the graph, and you can move the range to see just how your home price has changed. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. Sure, Luke, you bought at the top of the market and you're taking a bath on it.
I didn't buy at the top of the market. How dare you, sir?
You bought near the top of the market and you're taking a bath on it because you can't catch a falling knife. But you love it. You know, you're going to have that house for a long
time. I do love my
house.
These are the excuses that I sort of trot out for myself.
At least nobody was killed there.
That I know of.
See, we're going to talk about that later this morning, by the way. Would you buy a house where somebody was killed?